This is Lightning Power Lunch with Dave Mishkin and Greg Linnelli on Lightning Radio.
Well, I mean, we had a couple power plays that we didn't do much of anyone tonight. So in a game that we got that many opportunities and they didn't, that's probably the difference in the game. And for whatever reason, didn't have the execution that we're accustomed to.
You just try to win the next one. That's all you can do. You put yourself in a hole, and the series isn't over. So we have to believe, and all we can do is try to win the next game. That's where we're at right.
There's no more games if you lose the next one. You know, like I said, it backs against the wall. You find out who you are, you come out swinging, put your best foot forward, and you just keep pushing. It's a 60-minute game, but you got to chop it up into shifts and in periods, and just to continue to go. Again, you saw when we got to our game, the emotion we played with, you know, we can get to that. We believe in this group, so got to chop it up, got to continue to create your momentum and ride the waves a little bit, and gotta win one.
It's tough when you get in situations like this of what you're going to say right at this moment. But, you know, the big talk was we want the believers to show up to the rink tomorrow. And if you're not going to believe, then, you know, you don't have to come. So we'll see how many guys show up tomorrow.
Oh, we're all going to be there, Coop.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think everyone is going to show up for practice.
I think everybody's going to show up for practice.
We are pre-taping, so we are talking before attendance is due.
Roll call
has not been made yet, but I have full confidence it will be 100% participation.
Yeah, I was
at
actually
least
gonna say,
people like, there. They may not skate. Like, Mott's been taking, you know, the off-day practices off, which is understandable, but.
What's interesting about that is I think I don't know if he's talking to the fans either, but maybe, you know, a little,
yeah.
Hey, let's go. You want to show up and root us on? We're going to need you, because
I hope it's a boisterous crowd tomorrow. I mean, look, it may be the last home game of the year. In fact, it will be the last home game of the year. If the Lightning are unable to win the next two, they have to win game 4 and 5 in order to force a game 6. I know I'm kind of jumping ahead here. I'm just saying, like, if tomorrow is the last home game of the year, I hope that it's going to be a sellout, but like a noisy sellout, an enthusiastic crowd, an appreciative crowd. Lightning have had a good year. They run into a juggernaut. I mean, I said, Greg, before the series began, of the many things that I said, I felt in terms of the 82 regular season games that I called and saw with my own two eyes, the very best team in the NHL that I saw in the games against the Lightning was the Florida Panthers. And have they been perfect in this series? They haven't. Have the games been close? They have. But the Panthers are legit. So, you know, it's not an indictment of the Lightning that they have not had success in the series when you're taking on a team as good as Florida. It's disappointing that they are where they are. But I'm hopeful that the fans come out tomorrow and cheer on their team, because they deserve to be cheered.
It goes back to, and look, there's still time. There's still time. They can win. I mean, we have to take that mindset. But
yeah, well, what Tyler Mott said is true. Like, from the player's perspective, breaking it up shift by shift.
Sure.
I mean, fans aren't going to do that. But, you know, you break it up game by game. If you're a fan, don't think about. And you hope the Lightning win the series. You can't think about winning 4 in a row against a team that really hasn't had any significant losing streaks all year. I mean, they had a little bit of a stumble, I think, in early March. But you can't really think about that. You think about winning one game. Can the Lightning win tomorrow at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could. They could win the game tomorrow and then take it from there.
The thing about it is, and this is, it's not hindsight, it's 2020, because you and I discussed this before the series began. I didn't want Florida in the first round.
You said that.
Yeah. I didn't want them. I mean,
if you believe Florida is a legit contender, then the Lightning would have seen Florida in the second round had they gotten through.
But I'd rather face them in the second round.
Okay.
I mean, that, you know, and then we'll figure some things out. You never know what injuries look like at that point in the second round.
Fair enough.
I mean, things are just different. It's more of just getting out of the first round. And now they're faced with this situation. And you're right. I mean, look, Florida's a well-balanced team. And I think we shouldn't lose sight of this. I want to be very clear. If the Lightning were playing another opponent, is there a chance this series is different? Yes. The Lightning haven't played poorly. I know we're going to get into why is Nikita Kucherov, why is the power play struggling, and that's fine. That's fair game. But Florida has made the Lightning pay. And Florida has been responsible for the Lightning's problems, most notably, I think, on a couple of occasions, containing Kucherov, but also the, I don't want to say unforced errors, because I think Florida's creating some of these, where the Lightning are having issues with the puck in their own zone, and it's forcing them into more uncomfortable situations than vice versa. And I think that's a credit to Florida. They're kind of exposing the Lightning's biggest weakness, I think. And conversely, I think Florida has been advertised in terms of what they're doing, Dave, defensively. And then you factor in, I think Bobrovsky has played very well to complement that defense. And we can see why this has been, maybe we didn't think the Lightning would be down 0-3, but you can understand where the Lightning, you know, maybe down in the series three games in.
So look, Florida has been very good defensively with the exception of two segments. Really, the first half of the second period in game two, I would say, maybe a little bit more than the first half of the second period in game two. The bulk of the second period in game two, the Lightning got the Panthers running around a little bit defensively. And then, of course, the first 10 minutes of the second period in game three, which was the best 10-minute segment the Lightning have had in terms of being dynamic and really looking like the Lightning in this series. But you're right. The Panthers have D'd up and they have been as good as advertised. Now, they have not had to play from a deficit except for one small segment. And if you're a good defensive team, certainly you want to be playing with the lead. And if they haven't been tied, they've been ahead. Games one and three, they either took a lead into the third period or they grabbed the lead early in the third, and that's their ball game. Like, that's how they want games to unfold, and they executed very, very well. I actually think, and we've talked about this, I think in the first two games, the Lightning, I mean, they probably weren't quite as buttoned up defensively as the Panthers. I mean, they ended up giving up an extra goal in both games one and two. But I think the Lightning met or reached a fairly high standard defensively, which allowed them to stay level with the Panthers in terms of, like, being in the game, right? They were in games one and two. I think, why were they in games one and two? It wasn't that they were doing a lot offensively. It's because they were defending pretty well. And Vasilevskiy was playing quite well also. Last night was what I was afraid of going into the series. I mean, you heard me say this, Greg, going into the series. You've heard me say this all year long. If the Lightning cannot defend at a high level, they are going to be in trouble against this Florida Panthers team. And agreed. Last night was their worst, by a wide margin, their worst defensive game in the series. And it wasn't, so like, where do they struggle defensively? Did they have turnovers in the offensive zone leading to odd man rush chances against? No, not particularly. I mean, some of the odd man rush chances the Panthers have gotten in the series have really been on shorthanded, right? Like, Ekblad shorthanded breakaway. Kevin Stenlin had a shorthanded breakaway last night. But like, when we were talking about some of those sloppy plays at the offensive blue line the Lightning had earlier this year that led to odd man rush chances against, we haven't seen a lot of that this series. Then you wonder about, like, what about structure? Like, are the Lightning giving up grade A's in dangerous areas because guys are blowing coverage? I'm not sure that we haven't in games one and two. The odd play here or there, yes. But I'm not sure that that was really a problem last night either. The biggest problem they had last night, we saw it from the very first shift of the game. You have the puck in the defensive zone with a chance to clear, and you do not clear it. I mean, there may not be a bigger cardinal sin against this Florida team, because they are good enough to create offense on their own with one shot in the offensive zone. If you're giving them two, three, four chances to hold the puck in and make a play, You were absolutely playing with fire. And early in the game, before the Lightning got their two power plays, which we can talk about the power play, which certainly let them down last night, and high marks to the Florida penalty kill, which certainly, like, that was one area I think the Panthers were keying on going into the series. They knew it was going to be important, and they have met the challenge through three games, their penalty kill. But prior to the Lightning getting those two power plays, they were stuck in their own zone. And they were stuck in their own zone because either A, they didn't make the right decision with the puck when they had it, and or B, the decision they made was not executed well enough. So maybe they had a play that could have been made and they went somewhere else. Or they made the right play, they just didn't execute it well, and it led to a turnover. They weren't hard enough on the puck. Got to get that puck out. You got to play with a level of desperation, like, come hell or high water, this puck is getting out of the zone. And we didn't see enough of that from the Lightning last night at key moments. So that, to me, was probably the biggest key to how the Panthers won the game last night. Because on each of the first three Florida goals, I'm getting ahead of myself. Early in the game, the Lightning were having trouble clearing the zone, and Vasilevsky was forced to make a bunch of saves early, where the Panthers, they shouldn't have had the chance. The puck should have been out of the zone.
Yeah.
Panthers got a chance to hold it in, and I'm giving them credit. Like, when I say you're going in the wrong area, that's because maybe you held onto the puck too long, and the Panthers got in on you. Forced maybe a hurried play when you should have made that decision earlier, or you went to an area where they are applying pressure. Like, they weren't completely like unforced turnovers, but you have to understand that this is a team that is going to look to close on you in the defensive zone, and you need to be able to execute. And sometimes executing is just off the glass and out. Doesn't need to be a pass. If you're under pressure, off the glass and out, ice it. If you have to, and Phil is making the point, the Panthers in the third period, they were content to ice the puck as long as it got out of their own zone. And granted, it was a face-off then in their own end, but they're willing to, rather than turn it over, they'll take an icing. And a lot of times they got it out and it wasn't an icing. The Lightning had some opportunities to do that last night and didn't. So I'm giving credit to the Panthers for making the Lightning uncomfortable. But you have to be able, what is it Brian says? You have to be uncomfortable being, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And some of that is you're under pressure in your own zone. What's the play? What's the play that's going to alleviate pressure? And the Lightning were not handling that well early. They kind of got out of that segment unscathed. They had two very uneventful power plays after that. And then the shift after the second power play ends, the first Florida goal, same as goal two, same as goal three for Florida. The Lightning have the puck on their stick in the defensive zone and do not clear it.
Yep.
And moments later, Matthew Tkachuk scores on a great A. Like, I mean, I think the Lightning had a little bit of a coverage miscue there as well. Certainly they did. But usually when you're in a position to clear and you don't, you may be out of position. And the Panthers were able to capitalize on that. And that's what happened on goal two. That time it was Duclair. Duclair had a chance to clear it, and it was a situation in which Cirelli had blocked, I believe he had blocked two shots.
He did.
And was hobbled. Yeah. Like, one of your line mates is battling. That puck had to get out there. Even if it's an icing and you allow Cirelli to, like, either regroup, or maybe they let him go for a change, because if a player is banged up, he's not forced to stay out after an icing. Instead, he didn't get the job done. And the Panthers held it in, and it was like pass, pass. Reinhart makes a great shot. 2-2. That was probably the biggest goal of the game because it ended that great surge the Lightning had. And then on the third goal, I mean, I have to go back and watch it. The turnovers happened. It was a long shift in the Lightning end. So they had a couple of opportunities where they could have made a play to get it out and didn't. They had their kind of a hybrid of Janot. Cirelli was minus three. I think he was a little bit of an unlucky minus three, honestly. He was out there. Perbix was out there. Like, they had chances to get it out and could not get the job done. It was the fourth line for the Panthers. Fourth line for the Panthers was out on the ice for two of their three goals before the empty netter. and it was their fourth line. Oposo, who's in the lineup because of the injury to Bennett, intercepts a puck that should have been out of the zone. And then Montour, like Coop called it, a seeing eye single. I mean, granted, he fires it from the point right into the upper corner. It's a great shot. All right, you want to say it was a seeing eye single, fine. But that seeing eye single doesn't happen if the Lightning clear the zone. I know I'm really hammering this point, but to me, that was, it was like a cardinal sin for the Lightning. Against this team, you had to know going in, you have to be clean with your zone exits. We've talked about it, Greg. We've talked about it all year. But I mean, it took on added significance in this series. And last night, that was the area of the Lightning's game, at least one of them, that cost them. Because it cost them in a game and in a period specifically in which they did a lot of really good things. But despite having maybe their best period in the series, they entered that period down one and they exited that period down one. That was a very difficult pill to swallow for the Lightning, as Coop talked about. But they have to own it. They have to own it because the mistakes that they made against this Florida team opened the door for the Panthers to make plays. And that's what happened. I mean, we can get into the power play, which hurt, certainly. We can get into Bobrovsky. Right. You made a couple of timely saves, two posts, a disallowed goal due to an offside challenge that, again, was offside but had no bearing on the goal being scored. All that is true. But to me, I come back to those three turnovers or those three plays where the puck didn't get out. Because the puck didn't get out, it ends up in the Lightning net.
It's a tough pill to swallow. That second period, I think, was their best of these playoffs. And they were surging. And they were surging because Steven Stamkos was leading the way in large part. I thought he was the best player on the Lightning's roster. He's had a phenomenal series so far. He's doing everything he can to provide more offense. I said to you before the third period last night in between intermissions, I would put him on the first line to see if he
could. And they did in the third period.
And they did for a little
portion
bit
of it. Yeah.
That might be something strategically John Cooper starts with in game four. I think you need to throw everything at the wall at this point to get to a game five. I think Crozier comes back in. I think Perbix sits for me. If you want to go 12-6, fine. If you want to go 11-7, figure it out. And then if you want to double shift the Kucherovs and the points, that's fine as well. I think you and Phil both agree that, you know, Point was, he might have not been dominating, but he was giving a full effort last night. I think he was trying to will his team to a few moments there where they could feel good about themselves. But I think it's time for John Cooper to look at that roster and say, okay, within reason, what are some things I can do to ignite the team?
Yeah.
Those are two moves I would make. Stamkos starts on the first line. Crozier enters back in. I feel a little bit for Perbix because I don't think he's had a particularly good playoff, and I think he has struggled since he's been playing on his offside, Dave. And I think that's been pretty evident, and I think it's been exposed, quite frankly, in this series. And I can't really fault him because, you know, he's going to say all the right things, but some players, they can play on their offside, and it's a good fit. Others, they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And in the playoffs, I'm a little surprised they have done that, and they have stuck with that a bit when he's been in there, because I don't know if it's fair to him. I'm not sure you're putting him in a situation to be really successful. And Dave, quite frankly, against a team like the Florida Panthers, I'm not sure you can have anybody playing out of position. I think you need everybody clicking on all cylinders as much as you can. And I think you need to be putting players in a position to be successful. So I think for John Cooper and his staff, you know, I think sometimes coaching is a little overrated in hockey. For the most part, it's the players who are going to determine who wins and loses. But the coaching staff can put out that roster, and they can put guys in certain situations to be successful. And heading into tomorrow night's game, it's a 5 o'clock start. Crozier's in. I think everybody's playing in their appropriate spot.
But just to be clear, that's your opinion.
That's
when
my
you
opinion.
Say Crozier's in. Yeah, we don't know that.
No, that's my opinion.
Certain.
Yeah. That's my opinion. Yeah. My opinion, Crozier's in, and Stamkos goes at the first line. From there, you figure it out. Whatever you want to do on the fourth line, whatever you want to do on the third lines, if you want to mix and match, that's fine. Do you think the power play's a little stale? Hard to want to really tinker too much with it, because you got to figure at some point world-class players, Dave, are going to figure that out. But I don't know why all of a sudden the Lightning and specifically Kucherov are struggling. There has been, you know, obviously speculation. Is he a little banged up? He may be. I don't know.
He did not participate in what was basically a full skate yesterday. I mean, Vasilevsky took the option. Kucherov took the option, but our buddy Jay Retcher was pointing out, you didn't hear it because it was during intermission, so you were on the air unless you talked to Jay. But Jay was like, Kucherov is not somebody to take the option. Like, he loves, and he's right. Yeah. Like, he loves being on the ice. He loves working on his craft. And so there was speculation that he might be battling something, and whether he is or he isn't,
who knows?
The bottom line is that the Kucherov we have seen in the series is not the same guy that we saw during the regular season.
And I think that's now, fair.
You want to say the Panthers have been on him, which they have been, yes. But last night, it wasn't as much Forsling. It was some Forsling. But I thought Kucherov had opportunities to do some things, and they just didn't happen for him. And so I think, you know, whenever it is the playoffs end for the Lightning, we will get an explanation if he was battling something or if he just kind of hit a rut, which is possible. But having Kucherov not be peak Kucherov or vintage Kucherov or regular season Kucherov, like, I don't know if you said this, Greg. I think you might have said Vasilevsky, but if the Lightning were going to make the Panthers uncomfortable, maybe I'll put it this way, they needed Kucherov to be Kucherov. I mean, I'm kind of stating the obvious here, but if Kucherov is not being the guy that we kind of saw during the regular season, that's a huge blow to the Lightning and what they can do to attack this Florida team. And maybe it's simply that the Panthers have defended him really well, but I think he's actually fighting the puck a little bit. Yeah. Which is unrelated to what the Panthers are doing.
And then, you know, it can become a confidence issue, and even the great players have confidence issues, and I understand that. So whatever
By the way,
is,
just a point on Braden point, it was interesting. I'm looking at the stat sheet, which may have changed. This is a printed stat sheet. So Braden Point had more shot attempts than any other Lightning player. 9. You know how many were on net? 0.
That's incredible.
So he had 5 attempts blocked. I remember a couple hit the post. That's a missed shot. Yeah. So I remember a couple he kept shooting and they kept getting blocked. Like, he shoot blocked, came back to him. He shoot blocked, it came back to him. So they were doing a good job not letting his shots get through to Bobrovsky. But the fact that he had the 9 attempts tells you, like, he was buzzing out there. He was doing everything he could. He had 5 attempts blocked, and then he had 4 that missed the net, including the one that hit the post right at the end of the first period. And it almost looked to me that by the end of the game, when the Lightning pulled the goalie, like, I wonder if he had just expended so much energy. They didn't get a lot of juice in their 6-on-5. I mean, eventually Tkachuk scored into the empty net. But it's not like they had the Panthers scrambling around and they were zipping the puck from player to player and generating dangerous looks, which we've seen sometimes when they have the 6-on-5. Point did a lot of heavy lifting yesterday through the game. He did a lot of skating. He had to fight through checks. They're a really good defensive team. I thought he was all in last night, and a little bit unlucky that he hit the post, but they're going to need him to play like that tomorrow is kind of where I'm going with it.
I agree. And it's one of those things too, where it defies logic. It's a heck of a time to go into a slump if you're the Lightning's top players. But, you know, that's kind of playoff hockey, Dave. Remember how we talked about regular season and playoff hockey being drastically different? I mean, I don't think anybody would have thought that Nikita Kucherov would be what he is right now through 3 games. I mean, that to me, that was always the X factor. You know, could you beat Vasi in a 7-game series the way he's going? And he's played really well. I mean, he's played outstanding.
Yes.
But could you contain Kucherov for a 7-game series? And just based off of the regular season, the answer to that question is no.
Right.
But here it is.
And they're 2-for-12 on the power play.
And Dave, let's be honest too. We have talked about this team is built differently than previous years. They're a little more top heavy, even though they did address some depth. And if those players in the top 6 aren't going to be producing, I don't know what to say. Should we get some questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Brace ourselves.
Yes. We take all questions.
We do.
There may be some hopeful comments like, hey, I still believe. That's kind of what John Cooper was putting to.
Oh, look, they may be out there, but they're not on my timeline. All right, let's go to Noel time. The gig is up. I hope Vinick doesn't drag this out.
That is not an inspiring tweet.
I hope Vinick doesn't drag this out like Pitt and Washington. The assets on this team will bring back huge value, and they will all wave when they see the writing on the wall. 25 first is top 10 protected.
Boy, that is really a glass half empty.
Incredible, isn't
it? I mean, shall I point out that this team did make the playoffs with 98 points during the regular season? They have a player who got to 100 assists, only the fifth guy in NHL history to do it. They have a goalie who I think is still, I mean, I don't know if people are going to say he's still the best goalie in the world, but he's played at the level that we've come to expect of him probably in the last month. So let's understand that he's back. I mean, to me, Vasi is back. So, and they have not been run out of the building in the series. So let's not knee-jerk this. And I think the Lightning deserve credit for not being an organization that knee-jerks. They're methodical.
Yeah.
But the series is not over. The season is not over yet. No matter what the naysayers might say, the Panthers still need to win one more game. We'll see if the Lightning can extend the series tomorrow. Whenever we reach the point that the season ends, then you and I, and certainly at a much less kind of dedicated level than management for the Lightning, but you and I will take a look at what happened this year and give our opinions about kind of what moves or thoughts about what moves the Lightning might make. There are the two elements of off-season moves.
Yeah.
The elements of what do we want to do to address areas that we feel need to be addressed? And then what can we do given our cap restrictions? And I mean, the Stamkos contract, I think, is going to be a big piece to that puzzle. You and I still believe he's going to get re-signed, but how many years and at what number? And once that question gets answered, what the Lightning are able to do is going to become more clear. But we're not there yet. I mean, look, so I understand where you're coming from, Noel time. They're facing a very, very good team. But I'll pose the question that I posed at the beginning of the show. Can the Lightning win tomorrow? Yeah, they can win tomorrow. And if they do, we'll take it from there. If they don't, we'll have a recap show on Monday. You and I.
We will.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay 1-2-1-4. I don't dwell on the negative. I think it's time to put Crozier and Lilleberg together, regardless of their rookie status. They have had better moments than some of the veterans. Hagel is better than Cirelli. I didn't feel him with the first line was any more productive. There's more chemistry and proven production with the Stammer Cirelli Hagel line this series. While Dumba did better in the second and third, his first wasn't great. Duclair seems a better overall fit, honestly.
Well, look, if it were up to you, you'd put Stamkos on the top line, right? That's what you just said.
Yeah.
And then figure out the rest after that.
Crozier, Lilleberg, I agree. I mean, I'll meet you there for sure. Dumba's been hit or miss, I think. And I think so is Perbix. And I think that's kind of been the struggle. What was the goal? I feel like Dumba was out there for an eternity.
That was the Montour goal. They had a very long shift.
Geez. That was tough, I think, for everybody involved.
But, yeah.
It's been a mixed bag. I don't know I don't think John Cooper would sit Dumba at this point. I'm not saying he's the issue. I'm saying if you believe that, I don't know if he would do it. Does Calvin DeHaan deserve a chance to get in there and see what happens? I think everything's on the table for game four, Dave.
Yeah, and if they are feeling that having a right-handed defenseman play the left side is not desirable at this point, even though they've used a lineup that has featured a right-handed defenseman on the left side for much of the last month and a half of the regular season with great success. I mean, the Lightning other than that little stretch after they clinched a playoff spot, they played really good hockey with a lineup that featured a right-handed defenseman playing the left side. But if they make the choice that they want to go away from that, I mean, we don't know Fleury's status. I noticed that he was skating with the regular jersey yesterday. Whether it's him or DeHaan, like, you could put either one of those guys in to give you three lefties. Maybe you go seven with four righties. Maybe you sit two of the righties. And if Crozier is coming in, you're sitting two of the righties that played last night. The Lightning have been a team that has liked three righties on the right, three lefties on the left, as they configure their decor. And once they added Dumba, the way that the lineup kind of fell into place, they were using four righties. So somebody had to move to the other side.
Right.
We'll find out. We'll find out at 4:30 tomorrow when they take warmups, right?
Maybe
we'll get an indication at the practice today.
Does your gut tell you something's going to be done?
I would be surprised if Max Crozier is not in the lineup tomorrow. I was a little surprised he wasn't in the lineup yesterday, but I'm on the outside looking in. Like, yeah, I broadcast the games for the team, but I'm not in the coach's office discussing.
Well, what's we weren't going either. I was going to ask you though too. I mean, it's more of our opinion,
right?
So, based off of what we saw from Crozier in game two, do you think it was more about getting somebody else in the lineup for game three than it was what he did or didn't do in game two?
Well, I think Perbix was feeling better. Perbix took a big hit in game one.
He did.
And so he was questionable or day-to-day, and they sat him out in game two, and they wanted to put in another righty, and it was a righty with no NHL playoff experience, so they decided to dress seven. That 7th D was a guy with a lot of experience in the NHL and in the playoffs, Calvin DeHaan. Once Perbix was ready to come back, I think they felt they wanted to go back to the game one lineup that actually delivered a pretty good defensive performance. That did not happen last night. And again, it wasn't like littered with turnovers all night and the Panthers had like 30 scoring chances. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, against a team that is so good and so deep and so buttoned up itself defensively, critical mistakes at key times can have devastating effects.
That's what happened last night.
This comes from
Dale. He said, guys, did anything happen to Radish last night?
Yeah, that's a good question. He didn't play a lot in the third period. I think he might have had one shift. So that's another part of it, Greg. Yeah, Radish is unable to play tomorrow, I think if Radish can't play, Crozier's coming in.
Has to, right?
Yeah. I think that's an automatic. Hopefully Radish can play. I've heard some fans saying, well, Radish and Hedman, I think have been,
I think they've been okay.
They've been okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think they've been okay. I actually think Radish, you could see him at times when he was playing last night trying to, you know, create a little bit offensively.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't mind his game per se. He was getting a little physical. Look, you know, I think Perbix and Radish are often not compared, but talked about in the same sentence because, you know, basically have been playing around the same time, a couple of younger guys who broke through together to help solidify maybe that back end. I've been okay with Radish's performance for the most part. I think Perbix is the one, and I think it's because he's playing out of position, has been a little uncomfortable. I know that's kind of the fun word to use, but I think that's how I'm viewing it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where Perbix's confidence is at this point, too. And that's something you also have to account for a little bit when you're talking about. I mean, Dave, what was it, 15 seconds in, he turned the puck over. And
that's what I mean. Yeah, you could see it from the opening face-off.
So I think if you're John Cooper and the staff, you know, we talk about, you know, we're not in the room and they're looking at things. Well, if I'm in that room and I'm looking at things and I'm looking at Perbix from the start, I think that's a situation where you've got to just, you know, potentially ask the hard question and make a move. And maybe make a move and have him sit for a game and go from there. Because at this point, I don't think you can worry about feelings. You've got to understand that you're trying to win a game. And you can worry about maybe the after effects of what does that lineup look like afterwards. But I think those are all fair judgments in the highest stakes right now, and that is playoff hockey. I don't think we're saying anything that's out of control. Listen, here's the other thing too, fellas and ladies.
Yes.
The Lightning need to get more from their big guys. Stamkos has been great. And this isn't just Kucherov. This is Braden Point. This is Victor Hedman. And they know that, Dave. They get paid a lot of money. This is who the Lightning are. It's nice to talk about depth. And look, it's nice to talk about Nick Paul scoring a goal and Duclair. And, you know, the fourth line at times can chip in. But this team this year is built in large part offensively based off of what the top six does. And if they struggle, there's not enough in the tank to overcome a situation like they're in right now.
Yeah.
There's just not. And I think that's, again, it's a hard conversation to have, but I think we're speaking the truth. Here's Jay. He says, disappointed in Kucherov and his body language out there. Credit to Florida for game planning for him in the power play. Can't get much going. No room.
Well, look, they scored a power play goal last night with basically the second unit. It was taken away due to the offside challenge. It was offside, so it was the correct call. But as I said, the fact that Hagel stumbled, and that's why he put himself in an offside position.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about
that. It had no bearing on the goal being scored. Like, it's not like Hagel had an advantage by being in the zone early, got the puck, and had a break and scored, right? So what did they do? Once they established position in the offensive zone, they got a puck to the net. Sorelli went to the front of the net and deflected in a Hagel centering pass. And against a super aggressive penalty kill, the first unit, maybe trying to get more pucks to the net, like almost simplifying it, right? Although, as I say that, I mean, they got a puck to the net. It was a great passing sequence. I mean, Hedman threaded the needle to Hagel and kind of caught the Panthers out of position. So that had an element of playmaking to it as well. But when your power play, whether it's the Lightning's power play or any team's power play, is struggling, what do you hear? Like, let's simplify. Shots to the net. Score some greasy ones. And maybe that's going to be what the doctor ordered. I mean, the Lightning couldn't have asked for a different circumstance in terms of how the officiating went last night. They had four power plays and the Panthers had none. But, I mean, Steve pointed out, correctly so, before we went on the air, Lightning in those four power play chances had four shots. They hit the post, but they had only four shots on net. The Panthers had three shorthanded shots. Yeah. So shots during those 8 minutes, the Lightning were on the power play, were almost dead even. The goal for Sorelli was taken off the board. That would have been another shot. Right. I get it. But at the end of the day, they went 0-for-4 and they squandered those 8 minutes.
Yep. Incredible.
I still maintain, like, the power play clicking would help. But to me, the beginning, middle, and end of success tomorrow, just looking at tomorrow's game, is what the Lightning are doing defensively. Tomorrow's game, I would like to come on the show with you on Monday from Sunrise, getting ready for game 5 with Phil Esposito alongside me. He won't be alongside me doing the show, but he is committed to doing game 5, which is great. If there is a game 5, what I want to be able to say on the show on Monday was, this was the sort of defensive performance the Lightning have been looking for in this series. And while they've played well defensively in the first two games, they did give up one extra goal
when
they were able to score. And for tomorrow's game, I want to be able to come out of that game saying the Lightning D'd up. The Panthers were held to two or less. And the Lightning found a way to score enough, basically. That can be with the power play. That can be without the power play. If you can hold the Florida Panthers to one goal, for example, and that's a tall order, they're a very good offensive team. But the Lightning have showed an ability to defend at a high level in the series. You hold the Panthers to one, you have an excellent chance to win the game.
What do you think?
You hold them to two, you still have an excellent chance to win the game. Once they get to three, now the outcome is hanging in the balance, and it's forcing you to score four.
Yeah.
If they get three. That's going to be tough to do.
What do we
particularly
think,
if the power play is not contributing?
I was going to say, what do we think's more likely to get back on track for game four? Realistically, the power play or playing better in their own zone?
Well, they played pretty well in their own zone.
They have.
In the first two games.
They have, but we saw the, I don't want to say the floodgates open last night, but it was
they were mistakes that they didn't just happen
leaky.
On the three goals against.
Yeah, it was
but, I mean, it was a problem area last night. It was.
Listen, I think if they don't get their power play situated, they're going to lose tomorrow.
But Greg, they may only get like a one or two chances.
I understand, tomorrow. But we're talking about the best power play statistically in the league, and it's been kind of irrelevant. And if we want to say the Panthers have had a lot to do with it, that's fine. They have just taken away Tampa Bay's biggest weapon. We talked about that coming into this playoff series. Mm-hmm. And maybe you don't want to be somebody that relies on special teams as a huge component of how you're going to win, specifically the power play, because it might be more about defending in the playoffs than it is being really good on the power play. But the Lightning are just built this way this year. They're built on high-end scoring from their top players and a really elite power play.
And
if it's not going to come through, you've taken a huge part of their offense away.
I don't know that I think the Lightning have always had this in them. I've really noticed it in this series, and maybe it has to do with the quality of the opposition. But the Lightning, Brian Engblom has used this term, they're a flow team. FLOW. When they are feeling good about things, they have flow to their game.
Is there another way to spell flow?
Well, I wasn't talking about Mel's Diner flow.
I like it.
Thank you, though. I guess there is no other way to spell. I was explaining what I meant by the word.
No, though. I know.
It wasn't like a shortened version of some other word. Like, they have flow to their game. They're in sync. Their passes are tape to tape. They have support. They're physical. They are making the other team run around a little bit. And I think what we've seen in this series is the Lightning need something good to happen. And really that good thing essentially needs to be they score, right? Once they score, they catch a little wave. And they try and ride that wave. And they rode it really well for 10 minutes in the second period. I think the power play is part of that. So when they have their juice, right, when they have their swagger, they look a lot more confident on the power play generally. And the power play has been so good this year that, for the most part, they've had swagger on it. I wonder, and I know this is kind of an unreasonable request with 2020 hindsight, but I wonder if the Lightning had gotten a power play in the first 10 minutes of the second period when they were, I know they brought a power play into the second, but when they were rolling, would the power play have looked different when they had that swagger last night and they didn't get a power play during that time, which was fine because they were dominating the game. I mean, they were all over the Panthers and creating chance after chance after chance and making the Panthers defend and look pretty ordinary defending, honestly. But that went away once Reinhardt scored. So you asked me, like, what's more important tomorrow, the power play or limiting turnovers, essentially playing well defensively. I mean, I think both are important, but maybe the biggest key to success for the Lightning in the game tomorrow is reaching a point where they're able to puff their chest out and be able to play what we call Lightning hockey. We haven't seen a lot of it in this series. And again, I think the Panthers have a lot to do with that.
They
but
have, no doubt.
The Lightning almost seem to be prisoner, if that's the right way of putting it, to momentum swings in the game. Like, if they get momentum, they're able to play at an extremely high level in terms of being dynamic. But when they don't have momentum, even if it's not that the Panthers have momentum, when it's just even, they've not been able to kind of light that match. And I would like to see them try and light the match tomorrow.
That second period, though, that was fun to watch because everybody, and it started, I think, just being physical. I mean, guys were hitting other.
Yes, they were.
And it was contagious. And it was really fun to watch. So, you know, from that perspective, that, but, you know, we often talk about what do you do with that momentum and what do they come out of that period down, right?
That's the thing. So
you can't do it.
I mean, it wasn't only those two shifts. I thought the Reinhardt goal settled things down a little bit for Florida. And the Lightning weren't as dominant, and I'll use that word, in the second half of the second period as they were in the first half of the second period. But those two shifts were two of the biggest shifts in game three. The shift that led to the Reinhardt goal and the shift that led to the Montour goal.
Yeah. Is there anybody who hasn't played that you would put into the lineup on Saturday? I got a couple of people ask about Sherry. They're looking for some offense, you know, to see if you can try and change some things. I'm not opposed to it. I think the question just becomes who's coming out.
I don't know. I mean,
to me, that's a hard one.
Yeah,
like I think
depth,
the one in there.
Is
but he
a
only
depth
played...
forward lineup change going to substantially change the way this game has looked?
I no, mean, and Sherry's not.
Spot, which was important. I'm with you, though. If we're looking for how can the Lightning generate more and then convert on the chances they do generate, I think it falls on the shoulders of their top guys.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Sherry, I think is interesting just because I think he was brought in and was paid potentially to be a guy in the top six or top nine. It hasn't worked that way. And I think you would lose something defensively if he's in the lineup. That's just, you know, if he's not scoring, I don't know if you better be responsible defensively somewhere else. That's my just two cents. Jay also says, while that stretch in the second period was nice, seemed like they didn't play with much structure at all. Hope Radish is all right. Perbix was soft and not good at all. And Dumba just hasn't been his old form in years since the torn pec in 2018.
So that's an interesting point he had at the beginning. I felt in the second period of game two, the Lightning might have sacrificed a little defense for offense. Because remember how good Vasilevsky was in the second period, as was Bobrovsky. That was a little bit more fire wagon hockey. I thought when the Lightning were rolling in the first 10 minutes, and of course the Reinhardt goal came just shy of the halfway point. So let's say prior to that shift, I'm not sure the Lightning really gave up much. They had the puck the whole time. When the Panthers got the puck, they basically gave it right back. That's how good the Lightning were. But I mean, that's one, you know, what have we played? 180 minutes plus the 3 minutes in overtime. You know, how many of those minutes have the Lightning looked really dynamic? Maybe 15? You want to say 18? Like, if we're going to include the second period in game two, and in that instance, I agree, they gave up probably a little too much. But they were doing a lot of good things offensively. Like, that's a pretty small number. They need more of that. But I thought, as it relates to the comment last night, when they were on it, they were not only dangerous offensively, they were pretty good defensively until they had the shift when Cirelli blocked a couple of shots, was kind of unable to be his usual self because he had just blocked two shots and they failed to clear the zone. And you have the guy who scored 57 goals this year, ending up with a puck and a stick in the slot, and he makes a great shot. Tip your cap to Reinhardt. If you go back, though, there is good reason to believe the Lightning should have cleared the zone, and Reinhardt never gets that scoring chance.
Correct. This question, Hockey is Life, was responding to a tweet from Tampa Bay 1214 when she was talking about, or he was talking about, Crozier and Lilleberg. Hockey's Life says, you could see the inexperience with Lilleberg. Couldn't read the wraparound dump-ins, always late to the puck, as it happens on the second goal. Constantly getting pinned in his own zone and unable to hold the blue line in the offensive zone. Rookie status showed. It's maybe a little too harsh, but, you know.
Yeah. I think you're going to live. So Lilleberg has brought a lot of positive elements.
Yeah.
So the one that I remember about the rim, like that was the play I remember on Verhaeghe's overtime goal.
Yeah.
That's a hard play.
Right.
Like, I'm not sure many left side defenseman can get to that puck.
Right.
Because whoever the player was for the Panthers, who it was a tag up. So everyone's kind of moving, right? And that was a really well-timed rim.
Yep.
I mean, that puck was zipping around the boards. And look, I mean, is skating Lilleberg's greatest asset? Probably not. I mean, he's a good enough skater to play in the NHL. Sure. But there are other defensemen on the Lightning who I think just are quicker, honestly. But, I mean, Lilleberg's not slow. That's a hard play, though, to get to the puck and cut it off before it comes around the boards. And Matthew Tkachuk read it really well. I'm talking about game two. I don't actually remember what happened. I mean, I don't have the benefit of, like, I'm not recording the game and going back and watching, you know, 30 seconds before a goal is scored. I usually watch the highlight, and if I can, and what I'm remembering, right, and what is shown on the TV replay. What I remember about the second goal was Cirelli sacrifices himself so Vasi doesn't have to make a save, and it's Duclair. Duclair has the puck.
Mm-hmm.
And Reinhardt kind of disrupts it a little bit, but he had a chance to get it out. Even if it's, like we said, an icing. Give Cirelli, like, all right, regroup. We're up 2-1.
Yep.
Let's stop the shift. Let's take a whistle. Let's get it down the ice. Was unable to do it. If Lilleberg was involved in some kind of miscue prior to that, it very well may have happened. I don't remember it. I do agree with you, Greg. I think that's kind of a strong indictment. But you do have a young player on defense who I think is part of the Lightning's plans moving forward, and he has showed a lot more good than not good. So is he going to learn from different reps? Yes. Do you accept the fact that you have to live with some of that? Yes. I mean, I know I'm going back here, but Lilleberg came up and really was impressive in those early games. And then, like a lot of young players, like, he dipped a little bit. And
good point.
It reached the point where, you know, they sent him down, they called him back up. And when he came back up, he was even better than the first time he was recalled. So what I would say is allowing him to work through, we'll call it, like, I don't even want to call it a mini slump or just progression, like the ebbs and flows of a young player kind of acclimating himself to the NHL game. Like, the time that his play dipped was valuable for him to figure things out, right? And he became better for it. And I think that's the way to look at it. For a young player, getting this valuable experience is really important. So I respectfully disagree with the comment the fan had.
It's going to be fun tomorrow. It is do or die from here on out for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yes.
And we'll be there with you. And then regardless of what happens, mission.
Every game from here on out is one to be cherished and appreciated. I would look at it that way. And I'm looking forward to calling the game tomorrow.
Yeah, why not?
And should I mention my signing? We didn't even talk about that.
I think you should.
My books are here. So, like, that was a big sigh of relief. So I'm going to be out on Ford Thunder Alley just outside the team store from 2:15 to 4:15. And so as I understand it, you can make a $5 donation to the Lightning Foundation and sit to watch the game. Certain areas are taped off on Fourth Thunder Alley. I'm going to be in an area that is not taped off. So if you are paying your $5 to the Lightning Foundation to watch the game, you can have access to the signing table. But if you did not pay your $5, whether you're going to the game or not, you can still stop by the table. And I'll have the books. If you want to buy one, that's great. I'll sign it. If you already have a book and you want it signed, stop by the table. I'll sign it for you.
Beautiful.
I've got three with your name on it.
I know.
Two, Greg.
Can't wait.
Not your last name.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you looking out for your family members.
Of course. They want it, and I'm going to give it to them. Partner, I will see you tomorrow, 4:30 pregame.
4:30 pregame. 5.
We'll be at it, and then we'll be breaking down this game noon to 1 on Monday. And if the Lightning win, that'll be a 7 o'clock game, correct?
Did learn game 5 start time, 7 o'clock.
Okay. There we go. Partner, I'll catch you tomorrow. Thanks to Steve Versnick. Thanks to everybody who listened this week and all our guests. You've been listening to Power Lunch right here on Lightning Radio.